Welcome to the Reminger Report podcast on emerging technologies. Reminger Co. LPA is a full-service law firm with over 150 lawyers spread across 14 offices and serving states throughout the Midwest. My name is Zach Pyers, and I'm a partner in Reminger's Columbus, Ohio office.
And I'm Kenton Steele, an associate in Reminger's Columbus office.
This podcast on emerging technologies will examine how changes in technology and business models affect our daily lives and how the law is adapting to respond to these changes.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of the Reminger Report podcast on emerging technologies. Today, we'll be continuing our conversation with Brandon Abshire, and we'll be discussing what obligations are placed on companies for keeping personal information safe and tips for companies that have to respond in the event of a data breach.
Obviously, when we're talking about using services like that, whether it be a Google or a Facebook, in some way, when you sign up for that type of service to have access to it, you're counting on the company to keep your information private. But my understanding would be is that at this point, it's no longer just a, you know, person to company agreement, that there are also, you know, laws in place and regulations in place that sort of dictate and govern data security and how companies treat the information they receive. So what is sort of the legal framework in the U.S. in terms of data breaches and data security?
Just from a background standpoint, I can tell you I am a huge, small government, you know, believe in the Constitution. If it's not set forth in the Constitution, it should belong to the states, you know, small federal government, state rights. That's my, you know, philosophy and belief in life. But I can tell you the U.S. is a complete mess. It's a unmitigated mess. And compared to, you know, for instance, the EU, we are so far behind, it's almost a joke. In the U.S., first of all, from a privacy standpoint, regulations, rules, the big kind of hierarchy is broken down by industry. People will know HIPAA. That's almost everyone knows HIPAA. It applies to medical records. It applies to hospitals. You've got other big industries out there. FERPA is another one. That applies to educational institutions. It's a requirement. They're kind of privacy and record keeping. You've got the Gramm-Leach-Bailey Act, which applies to financial institutions. You've got FINRA's got a bunch of requirements. So based upon what sort of sector you're in, you're going to have a statute or a regulation that applies to you. If you're in multiple sectors, then you could have involvement in multiple industries and multiple kind of overarching federal rules. Unfortunately, there is not a global federal privacy law yet in the United States, kind of overarching. That differs from the EU. The EU has a kind of a global privacy law. It applies to all the EU nations and members. And it's easy to kind of navigate that because you know the rules. It's kind of a one-size-fits-all rule. Opposed to go back to the United States, you've got these federal large statutes, industries that these various laws will apply to, and then you bounce down to the states, and that's when it gets extremely messy. Right now, basically just about, I think maybe with the exception of one or two, just about every state in the United States now has a data breach statute. They're all somewhat the same, but they all have some, you know, interesting twists to them, which makes it difficult to work with. Just about every state statute related to data breach has some sort of, you know, rule related to how quickly you need to notify the individuals who've had their data exposed. Some states, it's a reasonable time standard. Other states, it's 14 days. Some states, it's 60 days. So the issues with that is, and I've dealt with this a lot in representing clients, is if you're dealing with a client who has operations in multiple states, or they have users or clients in multiple states, when you have any sort of data breach of their personal privacy information, you've got to go through and make sure that you're complying with every single statute in all 50 different states. any industry federal regulations in your industry you need to comply with. And if you have any sort of clients or customers that are international, you also got to make sure you're complying with that. Could be the EU, could be Canada, Mexico has rules. But the dealing with clients who have had breaches of personal information and customers and clients in their 20 and 30 states is a nightmare, because you've got to identify where the clients and customers are. Then you've got to identify all the time requirements, the reporting requirements. Some states have reporting requirements where you have to fill out a form online. Some states you have to send stuff to the state's attorney generals. It varies by state. So that's why I kind of say the U.S. is a bit of a mess right now in terms of the requirements. And you've got some bills that are hanging out right now in the House and Senate, in the federal, from a federal standpoint, to try to develop kind of more of a global data breach, data privacy type law that would apply to the entire country. But you got a lot of pushback from that. Again, you've got the state rights, limited federal government. States want to have control over their own laws. But I think from a practical standpoint, and I think anybody in this industry would agree that the current setup in the United States is almost untenable at this point, because I mean, just think from all this information you're using, everybody is digital. Everybody's on the internet. Everybody's got a website. You know, you could be selling soap on Etsy or Pinterest or one of those websites, and you're selling products to people across the country. You could have a small business in Ohio, and you could be selling stuff to Texas, California, Alaska, all over the place. Just because you're based in one state doesn't mean you only have to worry about, for instance, you know, the laws in Ohio regarding privacy or data breaches. So that's why I think, and that's probably one of the biggest issues I deal with when working with clients, is a lot of them have no idea of all of the laws that they actually should be complying with, and that they probably didn't know about or didn't know they were supposed to be working with it, just because they had no idea that all these various laws exist in these different states that they have clients or customers in. And it's, I'm hopeful that at some point in time, we'll get some sort of federal privacy law, data breach law that'll be applicable to everybody and make it a lot easier on business. But, you know, that's how stuff's made in the Senate. So who knows how it will work out when you're dealing with the federal government.
Yeah, that is a very interesting point. You know, I think you would see a lot of parallels, even as someone who typically is in favor of a limited role for federal government. If you go back to why we have the federal government we have in the first place, it's to regulate the commerce between the states, right? So that everybody's using the same money, everybody's subject to the same rules and requirements for transacting business. So I think this is really an area, as you explained, where a sort of comprehensive federal framework would really make life a lot easier, although you may have less to do if something like that were to be instituted.
You know, it's actually interesting, too, because I would say, you know, 10 years ago, you know, that the big thing was data breaches. It was, you know, something happened. How do you respond to it? And that's when a lot of these states started putting in the statutes about, you know, if you have personal information regarding clients or customers and it gets accessed here, you've got to do X, Y, and Z. You know, as I mentioned, some states require that you, you know, provide some sort of credit monitoring service. Other states don't require it. Some states require it over a certain amount. So that was the big focus on the states, you know, I would say 10 years ago or so, that 10 to 5 year period in the past. The big push now, which is interesting, is kind of what we talked about earlier, is the personal information and people storing it and people using it. California actually recently just passed the CCPA, which was kind of a groundbreaking law in California. And that's more dealing with, and it's very similar to the laws that you find in the EU. And that's more dealing with the ability for individuals to opt in or opt out of information. It requires that companies disclose what information they have on you. It requires you the ability to opt out or opt in. And it's interesting because since California did it, which is, I don't think their largest state by population, maybe, everybody's doing business in California. So the fact that California did it, you're seeing it now more and more pop up, because if you're in business, you're probably doing business in California. You've got to comply with that law. So it's really almost applying to everybody now. Even though you might not live in California, a lot of businesses have put in these California requirements to apply to everyone, just because it's in California now. And a couple other states have tried. I believe Virginia has now passed a similar law. Colorado has passed a law. Ohio is the fourth or fifth state, I believe. And a bill, I think, was introduced this summer 2021, basically kind of mirroring what California has in terms of matching in and allowing people to either opt in or opt out of having their information accessed. And Ohio actually has an interesting law in that it's the first state of the five or so that have passed these sort of privacy laws, and that Ohio has an affirmative defense in their law that's being proposed, which basically says that if a state has a program in place and a written data privacy policy that mirrors a national industry standard, then they are essentially immune from any sort of lawsuits if something happens and data is leaked out. Now, the Ohio law doesn't have a personal, a private right of action in it, but it does have the ability for the state attorney general's office to file an action if someone potentially violates this law that's currently pending in the state house. But if the entity has a policy in place, then they essentially have affirmative defense, which I think is a good idea. It promotes companies to be forward thinking. But you know, I think that's where you're going to kind of see a big push in the next 5 years or 10 years out, is states now moving on to a, you know, privacy statute, not just necessarily a data breach statute, but a privacy statute, and what companies have to do in terms of disclosing to, you know, citizens of that state what information they possess regarding their citizens.
And I think that's an interesting description of sort of where we're headed, what trends we're seeing with respect to, you know, privacy, safekeeping of private information. But turning to when that private information is exposed or is leaked to somewhere it's not supposed to be, what advice would you have for someone who's responding to a data breach or preparing for possible lawsuits after a data breach occurs?
So I can answer that question, but I think there's a few steps that I recommend people do beforehand. A lot of businesses now are being proactive and going out and getting sort of cyber security insurance, which is one, covering them for any breaches that occur. And it depends on the policy and what's being offered. You can cover them for breaches that occur. It can also cover them for, you know, potential liability that's coming from those breaches. You know, the cost in responding to it, the cost for responding to a data breach, depending on, you know, how many states you're operating in and how many, it can be massive. It can be very expensive. As I mentioned, some states are requiring that, you know, you sign up for a credit monitoring for in individuals in your states who potentially have had their data breached. I often tell clients, I think it's good practice, even if a state doesn't require that you offer any sort of credit monitoring to your clients, it just makes good business sense when you notify your clients that this happened, that, you know, we're taking this extra step and, you know, we're providing you this credit monitoring for a year, et cetera. And I'm assuming, you know, a lot of people have probably gotten these in the mail over the years from all the breaches that have happened. And you find out you're signed up for some sort of, credit monitoring service. So I think the insurance aspect is something that if you haven't looked at and you're listening to this podcast, it's something you, it's almost, It's almost, you know, it's so common now that if you don't have it, you're making a big mistake. Just from the cost and expense, attorney fees, and respond to these that covers. And I think, you know, the next biggest step that people need to think about is having a plan in place beforehand. When these breaches happen, or, you know, you get some sort of ransomware attack, you don't have time to figure things out. Stuff's happening fast. There's reporting requirements. You're trying to dig into your servers and your company's computers to figure out, you know, what's been taken and what's not been taken. You know, there's regulatory requirements, there's reporting requirements. There might be requirements to reporting to law enforcement. So you've got all this going on. You potentially could have some situation where you've got, you know, your system's locked down. You've got some sort of ransomware attack. You can't essentially operate as a business. So now that's not the time where you should be figuring out what to do. And I think the biggest thing is developing a plan ahead of time, a written plan for how to address a data breach, how you're going to address a cyber ransomware attack on your system. What steps are you going to take in that process? And I always tell clients, there should be a lead person, whether that's inside the organization, outside the organization, be an attorney, it could be an IT professional. There should be a lead person that's taking the charge to make sure that, you know, the company's going down, they're complying with the, you know, their plan and of how to respond to it, because that's, you know, that's the best way to handle it. Because there's just not time afterwards. And then I think, you know, after the breach happens, and I always tell clients, be honest, you know, it's never good to hide stuff. You know, it's the old saying, you know, the line is almost worse than, you know, the actual incident itself. So when you try to cover stuff up, it's never a good idea. I think everyone now understands in the day and age we're in, is this stuff's going to happen. You know, you can take all the steps and you can take all the steps you can. And these data breaches and the personal information, it's going to find a way to get out there either through accident or through some sort of criminal intent. So, you know, companies have to take all the steps they can to protect information, but breaches happen. So be open and honest with your clients when an incident happens. I always say you need to make sure that you secure the evidence. And that kind of goes along with being open and honest is, you know, usually there's going to be evidence of this. There's going to be evidence that someone got into your server, someone got onto a computer. So it's tough to hide. It's tough to really hide that's like something like this actually happened. And, you know, the next step along with that, and that kind of goes along with your written plan is developing a plan and figuring out, you know, who you need to notify, what states you need to notify, what states you need to comply with, what federal statutes you need to comply with. Does there need to be reporting to an FBI? Does it need to be reporting to your local, you know, state attorney general? So it's kind of figuring that step out and then kind of executing it. And, you know, it's like I said, it's not a fun process. Every business is probably going to be faced with it at one point in time. But if you develop a plan ahead of time, I think it's a process that most companies can navigate.
Well, Brandon, that is certainly a lot of very interesting information. And I thank you for joining us today to share that with us. As I mentioned, you are our first guest in a series that we're going to be doing on these privacy issues and data breach issues. I'm sure we'll be diving into some of the things you talked about. You know, what goes in that plan is something we'll be following up on as we continue in this series. So I thank you again for joining us today. For our listeners, please be sure to check out our series that we're starting with this episode, and also check out our video podcast that'll now be posted on YouTube. If you have found this on YouTube, be sure to check out our audio podcast on whichever platform you prefer to use. So thank you again, Brandon, for joining us. I'm sure we will have you back in the near future as we continue to dive into these issues.
Thank you, Ken.